It's so good to be in Augusta tonight, and been looking forward to coming, and I know there's been a slight change with the virus that's hit here, but we're thankful for what we feel. We feel the Lord in this place, and so it is a privilege tonight to be with Brother and Sister Worth in New Life Tabernacle, New Life Tabernacle, and this is an awesome church, and Augusta's blessed to have this church and to have the leadership of the ministry, Brother and Sister Worths, and so we are here to be a blessing. Hope and pray that something good will happen. So it's always good to have an amen corner. So I trust tonight that maybe in some homes there's an amen corner in your kitchen, or an amen corner in the living room, or the dining room, or maybe even the garage. I hope and pray there are many amen corners tonight, and it'd be nice if there were some type of shock collar system where when I knew somebody was responding and saying amen, I would feel the vibration and the response. But I do feel the love of God and the presence of the saints of God that are home tonight. And also all of you guests, we're so thankful that you have logged in and part of this service tonight. So I would just like to pray right now again that God would just richly open up hearts and minds to God's great understanding. Lord, we thank you. We appreciate your presence and your grace. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness, God. I pray, God, that you would touch every need in this sanctuary and in this assembly, God, and those that are coming through these doors and have not yet received this great salvation, that you would touch them, God, and lift them up in their faith, God, to believe in your promises, to hold on, God, and hold fast to what they have, Lord, and bring them into the kingdom, hallelujah. God, and all the Sunday school attendees, God, that you would continue to move and work, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, and do a work in Independence tonight. When they have church here in a little while, we're just thankful for the great work of God that's taking place tonight all over the land and all that the Lord is doing. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I want to read some scriptures here, and I've got different scriptures. I know this is Bible study night, but who knows? We've done this back in the springtime for about, seemed like it was about 5 or 6 weeks, midweek and Sundays, and our Sunday school on Facebook Live, and so it was good, and we do know that Acts 20:20 kind of took place at this time when the word is taught and preached in every house, from house to house. Now it's from Facebook Live to Facebook Live, and so we're grateful for the gospel. We're grateful for the truth. And New Life Tabernacle is a good place to come and raise your family right here. It's like that scripture said, if any man be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are new. And so there's newness of life in this place. Praise God. And God is a great God. God is an awesome God. And I'd like to preach a while, teach a while on his greatness, on his abilities. He can do anything tonight. The Spirit of the Lord can come down in your home tonight, and God can touch you. God can exhort the word to you and edify you. God can bring joy. God can bring tears. God can bring renewing. God can bring revelation tonight of this great apostolic Pentecostal oneness message. We're so grateful for the truth tonight. Praise God. I do want to say that it's an awesome call when God calls us into the church. For we are not just called in an institution, but we are called into His marvelous light. Living organism, part of the church of the living God. I want to focus for a while here on one of the prophets in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets. I want to read some scripture about Jonah. How many of you all know about Jonah? He's really popular. There's not much to his book. It's kind of a short book. He's not like a Joseph or a Moses where you can go on and on in the story and see a lot of things take place, but it's kind of a quick work. But God's greatness is in this book that is called Jonah. God's greatness. I would like to preach tonight about the greatness of God. And actually, the Bible says this in Hebrews, how shall we escape, Hebrews 2 and 3, if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I'm sure there's Bibles in your home. I'm sure there is a place where the Word of God is sitting on a table or in a bookcase or somewhere. And we're just praying that you'll take time out to pick this book up and spend time in the Word and let God do a work. I was reading a story about a grandfather that presented his grandson and his newly wife, and they moved onto a ranch, and he bought them a very nice Bible. And so they put this Bible up on a shelf, and the son began to get a little annoyed because every time he saw his grandfather, he said, well, how's the Bible treating you? Are you enjoying the book? And he would just kind of small talk, well, yeah, we just really hadn't had a chance to get into it. And so every time he saw him, have you opened up that book yet that I got you? I really want you to. And so he kept on and kept on. Finally, they sat down and they opened the Bible, him and his newly wife, and they found between every chapter, all the 66 books of the Bible, there was a $20 bill in between every book. So they were probably hoping there was 150 chapters. But it stopped at 66, so that was a pretty good sum of money. But I want to tell you something. There's more than $20 when you open this book up and you begin to apply it to your life, begin to have faith in it, and see how the Lord will work. So I'm preaching, teaching tonight, however this comes forth, that there is no escaping God's greatness. There's no escaping God's greatness. God's greatness is in the church here tonight. The Bible said in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent, notice here, a great wind, not just a wind, a great wind. They just had a hurricane number 5, I believe, down there in Central America. My. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. So they took up Jonah, verse 15, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Here you have this word again, great. A great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. God knows how to move even in the animal kingdom, or the creatures of the sea, to control them and to use them for his purpose. We know he had to shut the mouths of the lions in the den where Daniel was placed. But when this prophet was cast out of this ship before the storm ever cleared up, that God prepared a great fish. It could have been a killer shark. It could have been a great big whale. We don't know, but I do know God had to open his mouth up and keep it open until Jonah could slide right through. That whale may have felt like chomping, but it just wasn't the right time to chomp, because Jonah had to find a way in there, and then he had to be spit up on dry land. So none of those razor teeth hurt Jonah. But I want to tell you what, God's greatness was in this story. And the greatest thing about Jonah is God called him. And the call to go to Nineveh was a great call. A great call to cry out against this city, that God would do a work and people would turn their lives back to God. I was thinking about we are a country that there's a lot of crime. There's a lot of prisons. There's a lot of places where people are incarcerated. And there have been a lot of escapes from prisons. And it doesn't matter if the prison has 15, 20-foot concrete, high walls, barbed wire fences. It doesn't matter what's smuggled in, what comes in. Amen. They are wanting out of that place. And I was doing some reading on this, and I'm sure you all have been to Alcatraz in San Francisco. I'm sure you've heard about it. It's a prison on an island. We went there several years ago, and it's a prison that's on an island, and it's surrounded by the treacherous waters of the bay, waters where the temperature is 50 degrees. And the article said that these escapes that took place in other prisons and different places in America, that some even broke out of the same prison one, two, three times in the same year. They keep breaking out. But what they would do, they would send them to Alcatraz, because they knew when they got to Alcatraz, they had to deal with these treacherous waters and the temperature and the sharks, the killer sharks. And so when they went to Alcatraz, there really wasn't much chance of getting out of Alcatraz. In fact, there were 14 attempts while this prison was in operation to escape from Alcatraz. Some tried to swim through, but they did not survive. Some were shot from the tower where the guards were, shot them when they were in the bay trying to swim away. But there were three that actually got out through the vent and climbed over the wall and found themselves right there by the shore, and they had put together made a raft, and they got in this raft, and they were never found. They don't know really what happened, and the raft was never tested. It had not been proven, so they easily could have been carried out to sea, or they could have been devoured by the sharks. But most likely something happened where they did not make it. I said all that to say this. in this kingdom of God, there are many, many blessings, and the things of the Lord are great. And that's why the song said that God is great and He's greatly to be praised. And many, 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 many writings about the greatness of God. One psalm said, I will extol thee, my God. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord. This is Psalms 145, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I'm so thankful to be able to say that God's church is great. And from one generation to the next, people, as they grow up, young people, they're finding out that, yes, there is a great God in that congregation, in that house. There's a great understanding of a revelation of Jesus Christ as the creator of the church. Not just part of a religious council, but He did it by Himself. Our Bible tells us in Colossians 1 and 16, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. It's really not convenient, I guess, to take a praise break on a time service like this tonight. So we're just going to say hallelujah and go on. But God is great. If you want to clap your hands right now, wherever you are, and just thank God for His greatness, that when you got baptized in Jesus' name and you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance, you understood, hallelujah, that the Creator of the universe was now living inside of you, and that hope of glory was inside of your life. Praise God. And I know not everybody wants to exalt Him tonight. Not everybody wants to lift Him up. There are groups and there are institutions that will do their best to defy things that this book stands for and what our Creator stands for. But regardless, God exalted Him in that name and gave Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what, if I understand it correctly, everybody someday is going to bow their knee and they're going to confess that Jesus Christ is the great God. Jesus Christ is the only God. And every tongue's going to confess that He is the Almighty. He is the Creator tonight. Praise the Lord. And so, praise God. This church tonight, it talks in the Old Testament about a strong tower, a tower that we can run into. The name of the Lord, the Bible said in Proverbs 18 and 10, is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Hallelujah. Thank God that this is a place where people can escape the wrath and the sin of this world. This is a great hiding place where you could come and bring your families and bring yourself and enter into the gates of this place with thanksgiving and have a praise on your heart. But learn how to run toward the name of the Lord. His name is a strong tower. He provided cities of refuge, Pastor Worse, in the Old Testament, where if there were people that were guilty of something, or they were being sought out and they were innocent, they had a place, they had different places of refuge they could run to. There is an escape from the things of this world in this house tonight. There is a place where we can escape out of our situation, and God can help us deal with our situations right here in the house of God's greatness. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. And God allowed trumpets to sound. God allowed trumpets to be blown that would assemble the people of God, that would assemble the people of God and prepare them for battle. There was not a trumpet player that sounded a trumpet to retreat. There was not a retreat trumpet, but there was a gathering trumpet. It's time for church. It's time for battle. Hallelujah. But a sound of retreat was not in the mind of God. I'm so thankful that we don't have to go back to our old lifestyles and our old ways of life. We don't need to find a captain or make a situation or make somebody our captain. And your counsel should be when you come through these doors. Your counsel is right from the Lord. Oh, if you would in your home right now, put your iced tea down, put your Gatorade aside, move your coffee cup out of the way, and lift your hand right now and praise God for His greatness. Oh, hallelujah. I feel His greatness with just a few people here tonight. We're gathered here to have church. We're gathered here to tell you that this pandemic is not going to last forever. It's not going to continue forever, but it's going to be put behind us. I said it's going to be put behind us, and we're going to have revival. We're going to have church. We're going to have a move of God in our lives. I don't know about you, but I'm not wanting to find a way back through the Red Sea. God opened that for me. God brought me through it. I'm not looking for somebody to build me a boat to find my way back to the old life. I'm going to stay in the church. I'm going to stay in the church. But one thing I want to impart to you tonight and help you understand that we don't want to neglect this great salvation. We cannot escape this salvation. Why would we want to neglect it when there's so much to it? And there's so many things God wants to do in our lives. And God wants to move in all of our young people and all of the saints of God and this community. Augusta, it's time. It's time to realize there's a great God in this place. Oh, hallelujah. And we know tonight by experience, there is no escape from the greatness of God. He's here at the beginning of our walk with Him. He's in the middle of our walk with Him. And when the sun sets, He's still with us in His greatness and His power and His glory. Praise God. God may have repented one day when He made mankind. God actually repented that He made mankind. And God may have repented one time of a man that He put on the throne as king that was not worthy of that throne. God may have repented, and He did repent over that king. But I promise you tonight that the Bible said that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. I promise you tonight, He'll never repent over our redemption. He'll never repent over Calvary. He'll never repent and change His mind on the streets of Jerusalem of the power of the day of Pentecost when His greatness filled the streets of that city where people were brought out of dead formal religion and tradition and received the refreshing of the Spirit of the Lord. I'm glad God's not going to change His mind in Augusta, but He's still going to pour His Spirit out. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's an assured thing that you will get the Holy Ghost. Not if, but you will get the Holy Ghost when you come here and you realize this is more than just a church gathering. This involves a great salvation. And I'm so thankful that there's no escape from the greatness of God. You don't live bored when you serve God. You don't get bored because God has a lot of surprises. God has a lot of things in store for His people. I'm doing more than just hoping to see a rainbow somewhere. I'm not looking for a rainbow tonight. I'm not looking for an earthly king. Amen. We know the world's looking for a man that's going to sit on the throne. We know that there's going to be a man that's going to, he's going to get the hearts, still the hearts of this entire earth. But we know there's a church that's going to get out of here. I said there's a church that the Lord's going to take out of here. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, I'm telling you, God is good. God is great. Hallelujah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? This is a church of the greatness of God. Amen. Oh, yes, when mankind is building their tower and building a tower to make a name for themselves, we know that God in His greatness came down and confounded all the tongues and the languages where they could not communicate. Aren't you thankful to be part of a move of God where you can communicate, where there can be a relationship from the pulpit to the pew that you can take home with you? You can take it to the job. You can put it in the bank, that God's going to reveal His greatness. Hallelujah. God is going to move. God's going to do a work, and He may make us wait at times. We may have to wait on the Lord for things to happen. But you know what? You can't go wrong waiting. It will happen. I said, it will happen. God's church is great. Isn't it awesome that He took that Tower of Babel and brought tongues of confusion? And there on the day of Pentecost, He used tongues not to divide people, but to bring a people together from different nations. What was it, 17, close to 20 nations brought together by speaking in other tongues, tongues of men, tongues of nations, and actually tongues of angels, that He brought the church to establish it together, and He's doing it the same way. This is not about trying to find out what language we speak, but I'm telling you that when you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak in a language that is sacred to God, and is sacred, and it's powerful. Thank God for His greatness tonight. Hallelujah. I want to see a Samaria revival happen in these last days, Pastor. I want to see a great miracle that took place in Samaria to take place here, where there was unclean spirits crying out. There was healings. There was a lot of things that were taking place. And the Bible said there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. There was great joy in that revival. Oh, I'm so thankful for His greatness tonight. Praise God. Even though there is a gulf between the redeemed and the damned tonight, there is a place and there's a gulf, there's a space. Oh, on each side, there's praising on one side and there's cursing on the other. I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to keep on praising God in His greatness. Hallelujah. I don't want to lean toward that side of cursing or that side, well, God did me wrong, this didn't work out, or that happened. Whatever's happened, all things can work together for the good, even though if they're not good, the Bible said they can work together in time for the good. That's God's greatness. I said that is God's greatness tonight, how He works in our lives. Praise the Lord. Amen. And this world is looking for that leader. In fact, there's a verse of Scripture. I don't have it. Well, maybe I do have it here. There is a scripture in the gospel, John chapter 6 and verse 66, when Jesus began to put the fear of the Lord in his followers and admonish them. Amen. When he said, you got to eat my flesh, you got to drink my spirit if you're going to be part of me. You've got to pick up your cross. You got to carry it. And the Bible said, it's actually John 6 and 66. And I believe the Apostle John is the only writer of the New Testament that actually uses the word Antichrist in his epistle. That there's many Antichrist spirit working in his day. And isn't it something here, John 6 and 66 seems fitting. From that time, the disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm going to run toward him. I'm not going to run from him. I'm going to run to him and not from him. I can't imagine never again walking with him. I can't imagine letting go of my experience with God, or the family of God, or my purpose in God. Hallelujah. Jonah, amen, you're a prophet. You're a prophet. In Bible history, it's very possible that Jonah was the young son of the widow woman of Zarephath that God used to feed Elijah when he came into that city during a famine. And it was that son that became ill and passed, but it was Elijah that raised him up. And there's other scriptures that confirm this. Don't have time to get into all that, that this lad that was raised up by the prophet through Jehovah God, that was going to be a prophet himself and was going to be called to do something from God. I'm telling you what, amen, being called of God, being called into the kingdom. Whatever the work God has for you to do, just, amen, be content and live for him and let him open doors. He knows how to open doors and he knows how to make room for every calling. He knows how to, amen, to take people and make soul winners out of them. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Thank God we're not going to take that number, Pastor Wars. We're not looking for 666. We're going to stay with the perfections in 777, seven times around the city. Amen. Seven here, seven there. Praise God. We're going to stay with the greatness of God. But Jonah, amen, was a called prophet of the Lord. And the book of Jonah has many things concerning the supernatural greatness of God. Amen. Praise God. But yet, Jonah actually became, in fact, of all the minor prophets, a spirit of rebellion got a hold of Jonah. He was the only rebellious prophet in the bunch. And I do know it's the banana that leaves the bunch that gets peeled. So, anyhow, stay with the bunch. Stay with the Lord. Stay with the call of God. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What really stood out to me, I know you've probably been to Israel. And our first day of our Israel tour, we were in Tel Aviv. Our first day was Joppa. I always look forward to going to Joppa because I love the vision that Simon Peter received on that rooftop in prayer. That was where Simon got the revelation that God wants to save Gentiles. Am I getting away from the, I don't know how big I am in this pulpit tonight. maybe the we want to get this. I don't know how much you're getting, but maybe you can do like you can make the phone screen bigger. We got to stretch it. Can you see the columns on the west side columns and the east side columns? Praise the Lord. But anyhow, I knew walking through that city that there was a rooftop. There was a building where Simon the Tanner lodged. And it was there where Simon Peter spent time. And it was there that God gave him that revelation. I want to save Gentiles. I want to reach the heathen. And what really stood out to me, Pastor Wirst, that the same place, Joppa, there was another place. There was another place that was selling tickets one day. Tickets to Tarshish, to take a ship to Tarshish. And what stood out to me is there was one man historically in that city that was willing to run to the Gentiles. But there was another young man years before him that was wanting to run from the Gentiles and from the call of God and from the salvation of souls in that place called Joppa. One used that launching place to leave the call of God, but another one went right to Caesarea, just up the coast there, into a home of Cornelius, and the Holy Ghost was poured out. You know the rest of the story. What an awesome story, and that's why we're here tonight, because Cornelius had a prayer life, and God said, I'm not gonna forsake the Gentiles. There's going to be another key that God's going to open up, and doors going to open, and Gentiles are coming into the church. They're getting the same Holy Ghost, and the same command to be baptized in Jesus' name is going to come to the Gentiles. So praise God, hallelujah. But Jonah ran from the call of God, this same place. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord. And all God wanted him to do was to go and to preach an 8-word sermon. Amen? Just a few words. In 40 days, this city will be destroyed. All through Nineveh, in 40 days, this city will be destroyed. All through the city. And God humbled that city. And God worked through the greatness of the call to Jonah. It took a great storm. It took a great fish. But thank God that he provided the call. He provided the great storm and the great fish, amen, that thousands could be saved, thousands could repent of their sins. And the whole city was in sackcloth, amen, humbling themselves, praying and weeping and crying out to God. And Jonah got a little irritated because judgment didn't fall. Jonah got a little irritated because judgment didn't fall. Well, amen. It took a great gourd. And then God created a great worm to devour the great gourd. I'm done. There's no escaping this greatness of God. He moves in a lot of different ways. Hallelujah. To get us to where we need to be with God, to align ourselves. Amen. You know, it's like when I go to the dealership to get our vehicle service, this woman always brings up, well, you really need an alignment. And the thing I want to say, I don't want an alignment. I don't want to spend the $60, $70 for an alignment. Well, if you want the warranty to be intact on your tires, you better get the alignment. And so I'm pretty punctual about our tire rotation and balance. And they look up on the record and said, yeah, he's to the letter. Every 5,000 balance, rotation, oil change, every 5,000. And if the tire warranty said 60,000 miles on the tire, don't tell me I need tires when I've only got 40,000 miles on the vehicle, because you're going to have to give me new tires. And they had to do that one time. But you know what? Amen. That's why those alignments are important. And that's why, amen, we need God to align our lives. And we need God to move. Jonah was upset that God didn't move the way he wanted him to move. And here comes another east hot wind, another great wind, which just totally... Amen. He got rid of the worm and the gourd and Jonah's patience. But God got a hold of him. God did a work in Jonah's life. Amen. He got to rejoice that God did a great work. Oh, we need to take this serious tonight and not neglect this great salvation. This is a great salvation. And it really doesn't matter. The writer in Psalm said in 139, where am I going to go from your spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Sometimes you can feel like you're in a living hell, serving God, holding on to the church. But you know what? The Bible said he was there. No matter where your bed is tonight, he's there. And he's going to make a way for you. I wonder right now, all across this Facebook online, if everybody could just bow your heads and just talk to the Lord for a few moments. Seek him. Oh, we cannot escape his greatness. Let this church be like Alcatraz. There's no way out. Hallelujah. There's no way out. You can't make it. You can't make it without it. You got to have it. Oh, you need it. You need it. It's always good to be able to humble ourselves. God, not my will, thy will be done. And I've seen people serve God where their bed was in hell. Their life, everything was opposing them. But they kept praying. They kept seeking God. They kept coming to church and kept worshiping God. Oh, I miss the worship tonight. I thought about that in prayer tonight. Man, worship or having church without worship is like having a good meal without chocolate cake. Amen. When there's a chocolate cake in the kitchen, sometimes about an hour before the main course, I'll eat the chocolate cake. Praise the Lord. I wish we had some of that chocolate cake worship right now. But go ahead and praise him right now. Lift your hand and thank him. Oh, we pray, God, right now that you touch everybody, God, that's online with us now. We're connected together right now with them, God. Would you lift them up tonight, and would you strengthen them tonight, God? Would you, God, open their eyes to see your greatness? It might be in a little worm. It might be in a gourd. It might be in a great storm or something in life like that great fish that will swallow you up. But just hold on. Hallelujah. Even Jonah in that belly of that whale, hallelujah, his heart, his soul looked toward the temple. And believe me, Jonah was a valuable man to Jesus Christ, because he's the only prophet where Jesus likened himself to in the New Testament Gospels as the Son of Man, hallelujah, in the heart of the earth 3 days, 3 nights, as Jonah was in that great fish. Oh, hallelujah. God had a purpose. No matter how far he ran from him, amen. God had to step in his, God had to put a roadblock, God had to do something in his greatness. And so this is all about the greatness of God. Amen. It's all about the greatness of God, and there's no escape from it. I'm thankful that God's greatness is in our lives, in the church, and I think I've gone long enough. So the altar call is just get behind your pastor and come to church, and let this good pastor and wife lead you into the good things of the Lord. And we pray that all the sickness that's hit this place, we're going to pray that God will reveal his greatness in your time. I know it's not fun to be quarantined. Somebody was quarantined for a long time, so long that they stayed in their house for like weeks and weeks and maybe even over a month, and they look forward to trash day. They would say, oh, it's trash day tomorrow. What am I going to wear? I got to go outside. I got to take the trash out. Just good to get outside. Praise God. We thank God for this good church and this pastor and all the good saints of God. This church is a blessing to our church and the youth that's here. And we thank God for you. And our prayers and desires for you just to live in the greatness of God.